just holy one. Oh dear, God is a great day. And
every day
I'm wise, I bless the Lord
in the precious holy
one. Deeper in the faith of Jesus, holy faith and truth. In his power, son, exalting wisdom, let me be his portion. Oh, dear. But yes, I pray. And
every day,
one is a blessed Lord in the precious holy one. Oh, day by yet I pray and every day, one. Is a blessed Lord in the precious
holy one. Amen.
Let's be seated. Let us be seated. We bless the Lord for keeping us. Last week, we began to study from John chapter 3. You guys have too many mics. From John, chapter 3. And the topic for last week was a topic which I believe that we have to begin to revisit in the church. It used to be a very popular topic, but now it's almost virtually disappeared. And the statement last week was, you must be born again. You know, there are prerequisites to everything. The prerequisite to walking with Jesus is that you must be born again. And we studied we looked at the story of a man called Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews and a teacher. He was a man who knew doctrine. He knew the prophets. He knew the story of Moses. He knew the history. He knew a lot of things. He was a teacher of the people, yet he did not know the fundamental of salvation. But God touched his heart, and he went to the Lord Jesus Christ in John 3. And he said, it's apparent, Lord, that you're a special person, for nobody can do the things you do except God is with him. Unlike my colleague, it was part of what they call the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the people who were the protectors of the law. He said, unlike my colleagues, I see that there's something about you. It came by night. It came by night because he was a leader. He had a lot to lose. He was shy. He did not want to be identified with Jesus by day. But there was something talking in his heart. Revelations 3:20 was happening in his heart. It said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open his heart and come to me, I will come and dine with him. So he went by night. And as he began to talk, the Lord stopped him and said, listen, let me tell you, you must be born again. You must be born again. And this man said, what do you mean I must be born again? Can I enter into my mother's stomach and be born? The Lord said, very, very, I say unto you, you must be born of water and of the Spirit, or you will not enter the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus asserted severally that he must be born again. And we paused last week, and I was saying to all of us, like this man, some of us may have been in the church for a long time. You may even be a teacher of the word of God. You may even be, You may be a worker. You may be familiar with all of religion. But it comes as a fact that unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. This question of being born again, we must answer it. And we looked at this Nicodemus. The next time we heard about him was in John 7, together with his colleagues, discussing how they might persecute the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see that Nicodemus' conscience was with Christianity, was with Jesus. Although he could not come out in the open, his conscience, he was defending the Lord, giving a very weak defense. Say, oh, people, we cannot persecute him. Even our laws say that unless we hear a man, we cannot judge the man. Trying with style to be and to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, if you go to John 7, you hear one of his colleagues say, what are you? Have you not read? Have you seen any of the leaders come to him? So, any of us leaders. So, obviously, as of John 7, this Nicodemus was not born again. He still identified with the persecutors. Among his colleagues, he was known as one of them. He was not yet. He was a secret searcher for the Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately for Nicodemus, the next time we saw him was at the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the clout together with Joseph of Arimathea. Yes. And he had the clout to go and ask for the body. And he did a fantastic burial for the Lord Jesus Christ. A service to Christianity. He embalmed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he was not born again. Because we do not see Nicodemus with all his clout at the resurrection of Jesus. We did not see Nicodemus with all his clout at the ascension of Jesus. We did not hear about Nicodemus with all his clout as the gospel, the Spirit began to dispense duties and the gospel was to be preached. He was a man that was ready to church, ready to sing, ready to preach, ready to do all things within the enclave. But to come out openly and to declare himself and identify with Jesus Christ, essentially, when we learn more about this, to be baptized, which is the open declaration of the shame of belonging to Jesus, this man was not ready. And we challenged ourselves last week saying, are you a Nicodemus Christian? Are you born again? Are there some of us today who cannot declare Jesus before our colleagues? Are there some of us today who are active on Sundays, but not active on other days? We must be born again. Nicodemus and his colleagues thought they were fine until Nicodemus encountered Jesus. And the question that Jesus had for him really, really shocked him. John 3:3, most assuredly I say to you, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. Let's start reading from there. I'll read further down a bit. Nicodemus in verse 4 of John 3 said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you notice here, Christ was not answering his question. The Lord was not explaining how a man could be born again. The Lord wanted him to understand that it's really important that you be born again. So rather than answer his question, the Lord reiterated what he said the last time. You must be born of water and be born of the Spirit. And of course, Nicodemus and some of us might wonder, what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean by you must be born of water and born of the Spirit? Nicodemus at least understood something. That this is, you must have had a supernatural experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot just say the sinner's prayer and follow what the pastor said you should repeat after him, and you are born again. Any more than you can lay claim to a property because you have a closing date And because you have submitted your, whatever it's called, what is it when you want to buy a house? Your bid, or what's the first thing you submit? Until you move in, until the deal is closed, until your signature is on the paper. No woman has a child because they are pregnant. You have a child when you deliver the child and you hear the voice of the mother and the voice of the child. That's how being born again is. Jesus explained to Nicodemus that you must be born thoroughly of water and born of the Spirit. So today, we're just going to look at a few more points. Who is it that must be born again? Thank you, Adejare. If your name is you, then you must be born again. If your name is you, everyone needs to be born again. Every Christian today, every sinner today needs to be sure that they are born again. When the Lord Jesus this morning points, he points to the whole world and says to the whole world, you must be born again. The Lord said to Nicodemus, you're a teacher, you're a ruler, and you do not know these things. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you must be born again. You must go to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. I have an example here. There's a man called John Wesley. If you've ever seen Methodist on any church billboard, the whole Methodist church, it was built on the theology of this man a long time ago in the 18th century. And this man was an Anglican priest, ordained. He was a student fellowship leader. In fact, he was doing his MA in Oxford. He was an accomplished intellectual. In those days, PhDs or DD, whatever they call it, was very rare. MA was considered BA. It was already impressive. These days, everybody has a master's degree. But to have an MA in Oxford in those days was a big deal. You had to be an intellectual. He and his brother Charles, the writer of hymns, were in this. And while they were in school, what they were known for was how diligent Christians they were. They put together fellowships. They put together, in fact, they were so known, the whole campus knew them for the way that they sought after God. When he graduated, he was a priest of the Anglican Church, and yet he was not born again. He wrote in his own journal the day that he met the Lord Jesus Christ. It was when he met some Moravian brethren and they preached to him about salvation by grace alone that he knew that he was not born again. Let us be sure that we have encountered Jesus in a very personal way, because this is the true beginning of Christianity. It's not baptism at childbirth. It's not even the ceremony of baptism. It is that encounter where you are able to say, and we're going to deal with how do you know you're born again down the line. That's how you know that you're born again. Judas was performing miracles. He was not born again. It's so important that we pay attention to this being born again, because every single word that Jesus speaks, he says it will not return to him void. Do not be satisfied until you can say, I am born of the water and of the Spirit. Of course, the question will be, what does that mean? I think Paul further explained that to us in the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. He said, we're born by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Spirit. We are born again by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing of regeneration. That means when you come to Jesus, there's a washing, the water washing, the regeneration, the cleansing will take place. And there's a renewing of the Holy Ghost that takes place in a man. In those days, older days of Christianity, They will watch to see whether your life had been turned around before they even incorporate you into the church. You will go through baptismal class. In fact, they will make bold to change your name. They will give a Bible name in order to be born again before they accept. Because the church cannot born you again. The preacher cannot make you born again. Only Jesus and you will know. And it is your responsibility to be sure that you have been born of God. That you have been washed. Remember that hymn. Are you washed by the blood of the Lamb? You cannot be born again and continue in the old ways because there's been a washing. And it is not you that will be washing yourself. Revelation 3:20 says that I'm standing at the door. The one who will wash you as you are hearing the gospel will be knocking on your door, the door of your heart, this morning. If you indeed belong to the Lord, he'll be convicting you of sin. It is just you that will have to open your heart so that he will come in and you will have a great experience. It's like an experience that you've never had before. It's as if you're a brand new baby. Many people decide to become a Christian. Nobody decides to be a Christian. You're a Christian because you are born of the Spirit of God. You are convicted by the Spirit of the Lord. And you're a brand new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creature. All things have passed away. What God is asking you for is not that we should come and agree with him. Agree that Jesus is Lord. Is that we should come to him and be converted. He's ready to make us brand new people. Praise the Lord. Who must be born again? Everybody. Everybody must be born again. Why must we be born again? Galatians 6:15. You see, if not that our lives need to be repaired, Jesus would not have died on the cross. That passage says that neither circumcision nor circumcision, neither denomination, neither baptism, neither baptismal class, neither being born a Christian, all of these things matter. What matters is a new creation. We must be born again because the Bible school can teach you about the New Testament. Listening to sermons can make you aware of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading the Bible can bring you to a knowledge of the truth. But you must be born again because none of these things can convert you. You need Jesus to convert you. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot try yourself into his kingdom. You cannot good yourself into his kingdom. You cannot save yourself. You cannot church yourself into the kingdom of God. You cannot serve yourself into the kingdom of God. You must be converted. And only Jesus will convert. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. Say, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And this corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Something needs to give. Something needs to change. And you must know that it has changed. Unless something has fundamentally changed through the knowledge of Jesus in your life, you remain as you are. So we must be born again. This is what the gift and the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ is. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, Christ said, I say verily to you, unless you be converted and you become as a little child, as little children, you will not enter this kingdom. Again, born, children, converted, as a precondition to doing what? Being with Jesus in heaven. Did he say, unless you are converted and you become as a wise old man? No. We're going to end the sermon now. But I say to you, Christ says here that there should be an experience in your life that makes you like a little child, like you're just starting over a brand new trip. Have you had that experience in your life? Unless you are converted and you become like a little child in your innocence, in your hunger, in your dependence on God. Our experience, our learning, our experience in Christian race, in the Christian, cannot. It is the exact opposite of that. It is the conversion that imparts our heart and makes us finally, I want you to look at any little child here. Before God, you must be like that. The Lord replying to Job said, who is this man that darkens knowledge with words of foolish words or thereabout? I don't want to preach over this important thing. No matter where you think in Christ this morning, I challenge you to say, are you converted as Jesus converted you? Is your heart before God like a little child? Not me. Jesus says, unless you can say yes, you will not enter heaven. Not me. Please, my brethren, it doesn't matter how many theological books you've written, you've read in your life. It does not matter how many MOGs. It does not matter how long you have, quote unquote, been in the church. My Lord says, unless you can say this morning that I am converted, and as a little child is, so am I. In my Savior's hand, he says, when that trumpet sounds, you will not what? Enter the kingdom of God. This is a moment when you don't look to a pastor. This is a moment when you do not look to your parents. This is the moment when you do not look to your theology or to the church that you grew up in or your bank of knowledge. This is the moment to look inside and say, what the Bible says, is it true of me? Am I born again? Many churches have persuaded maybe people that they are born again because the people comply with the traditions of that church. But if only those people will look at the traditions of Jesus and his word, then they will learn to go to Jesus and ask for the real thing. When the Lord met that woman by the well, said, give me to drink. The woman was talking about physical water. But as usual, Jesus was talking about something else. The water that will spring up a well of living water from her stomach. This matter is that serious. There are many people in the church who are still dead. And their consciences are moved away from God because they are doing well in the church. But the Lord said that the word that proceeds from my mouth, they are like the snow and the rain that drops to the ground and wets the ground, and they never return to him void. But they accomplish everything. Christ said, I myself will not judge you on that day, but the words that have spoken. I'm personally very concerned. A lot of us are concerned about unconverted people outside. I tell you, brethren, I'm more concerned about unconverted people in the church. I think the bigger tragedy is people in the church who are not born again, who have not encountered Jesus, whose confidence is false. The Lord thought about it, and we're ending now. And he looked at Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, I know you're doing well in evangelism. I know you are doing. He said you encompass land and sea to convert people. And when they are converted, you are making them twice the sons of hell as yourself. You hypocrites. And Peter also touched on this in the book of 2 Peter. He said, now judgment must start from the house of the Lord. Then he said something strange, something we never hear anybody say today. Have you ever heard anybody say, if the righteous are scarcely saved? You know what that means? That if it will be hard for even people in the church to be saved, then what will be the end of those who do not believe? The assumption is everybody in the church is already saved. Am I correct? But he did say, if the righteous are scarcely saved, he said, now it's time for judgment to start from us. Then Paul, as his habit, we say, search yourself whether you are in faith. I want, by the grace of God, all of us to have the true experience of Jesus. As we go on, some of you will tell your stories about how you met Jesus so that you encourage others. This used to be, church services used to be about sharing testimonies. Don't worry, I won't call you today. Get ready. And see if he was fidgeting. Everybody sharing their testimony. Sister Kike standing up and say, this is what Jesus has done for me. Then you find out that, oh, I'm more like Sister Kike than Brother Bumi. If God can do it for Sister Kike, he can do it for me too. Everywhere we went, we were supposed to go and share our testimony. God raised me from the dead. God healed my child. God healed me, my issue of blood. That is the gospel. The good news that there's a God that touches all of us. And then you come to him. We must be born again. You must be born again. We must be born again. In manufacturing, you don't keep churning out products. There's something known as quality assurance, Q&A. It's very huge. Because when your rate of recall is high, your profit is wiped off. So you don't want any mistake from the assembly line. But we churn out Christians, but it's time for us to do a little QA. I say again, many people's heart and bless their soul, pant for how we might go and convert sinners. My heart pants for the quality of saints within the church. Because when we are rock solid, it will be easy for others to join us. Are you born again? Are you like a little child before God? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing, or have you just said the sinner's prayer? Are you a church attender, or have you met with Jesus? Are you a brand new Christian? If there was no new covenant, no pastor, no church, no nothing, if you were the only one, will you be worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and truth? Are you content with the spirit? Let us pray. But I know that you will interpret your word in the heart of your children this morning. This is the eternal truth. It's simple, that we must be born again. That sinners must repent and be converted to you. Lord, I pray that as your people meditate upon this word, Lord, that the truth will cleanse our hearts. Those that are cold will return to you. Those that are yet to know you, but I pray they will open the door of their heart and they will experience that cleansing, that rebirth, that breaking, that fellowship in Jesus' name. Let your spirit be upon your people. I pray that this word will not depart from our heart. Blessed are you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's say the grace. That's simple. Let's say the grace.